Christ, says Speed, grabbing for his breeches. It's a raid. Let's get out of this, Flash. The horse squeaked with panic, and I swore and struggled into my clothes. It's no joke trying to dress when the peelers are after you, but I had sense enough to know that there was no hope of escaping unless we were fully clad. You can't run through St. James on a fine evening with your trousers in your hand. Come on, Speed was shouting. They'll be on us in a minute.
What shall we do?
Wails the red-haired slut. Do what you damn well please, says I, slipping on my shoes. Good night, ladies, and Speed and I slipped out into the corridor. The place was in uproar. It sounded like a battle royal down on the gaming floor, with furniture smashing and the Cyprians screaming and someone bawling, In the Queen's name! On our landing, there were frightened whores peeping out of the doorways, and men in every stage of undress hopping about looking for somewhere to run to. One fat old rascal, stark naked, was beating on a door, bawling, Hide me, Lucy! He beat in vain, and the last I saw of him he was trying to burrow under a sofa. People nowadays don't realize that in the 40s the law was devilish hot on gaming hells. The police were ever trying to raid them, and the hell owners used to keep guard dogs and scouts to watch out for them. Most hells also had special hiding places for all gambling equipment, so that cards, dice, and boards could be swept out of sight in a moment, for the police had no right of search, and if they couldn't prove that gaming had been going on, they could be sued for wrongful entry and trespass. Evidently, they had caught the minor St. James Club napping with a vengeance. And it would be police court and newspaper scandal for us if we couldn't cut out pretty sharp. A whistle shrilled at the foot of the stairs, the trollops screamed and slammed their doors, and feet came pounding upwards. This way, says I to Speed, and we darted up the next flight. It was another empty landing, the top one, and we crouched by the banisters, waiting to see what happened. They were hammering on the doors below, and presently someone came scampering up. He was a fair, chinless youth in a pink coat. Oh, my God, says he, what will Mother say? He stared wildly around. Where can I hide? In there, says I, thinking quickly and pointing at a closed door. God bless you, says he, but what will you do? We'll hold him off, says I. Get out of it, you fool. He vanished inside, and I winked at Speed, whipped his handkerchief from his breast, and dropped it outside the closed door. Then we tiptoed to a room on the other side of the landing and took cover behind its door, which I left wide open. From the lack of activity on this floor and the dust sheets in the room, it obviously wasn't in use. Presently the peelers came crashing up, spotted the kerchief, gave a great view halloo, and dragged out the pink youth. But as I'd calculated, they didn't bother with our room, seeing the door open, and naturally supposing that no one could be hiding in it. We stood dead still while they tramped about the landing, shouting orders and telling the pink youth to hold his tongue. And presently they all trooped off below, where by the sound of things they were marshalling their prisoners, and being pretty rough about it. Wasn't often they raided a hell successfully, and had a chance to mistreat their betters.
By George, Flashy,
whispered Speed at last, you're a foxy one, and no mistake, I thought we were done. When you've been chased by bloody Afghans, says I, you learn all there is to know about lying low. But I was pleased at the way my trick had worked, just the same. We found a skylight, and as luck had it, there was a convenient flat roof close by over what proved to be an empty house. We prized up another skylight, crept down two flights of stairs, and got out of a back window into a lane. So far, excellent, but Speed thought it'd be capital to go round the front and watch from a safe distance while the peelers removed their victims. I thought it'd be fun, too, so we straightened our clothes and then sauntered round into the end of the street. Sure enough, there was a crowd outside the minor club to see the sport. The bobbies were there in their high hats and belts, clustering round the steps, while the prisoners were brought down to the closed carts, the men silent and shamefaced, or damning their captors for all they were worth, and the trollops crying for the most part. Although some had to be carried out kicking and scratching. If we'd been wise, we'd have kept well clear, but it was growing dusk, and we thought we'd have a closer look. We strolled up to the fringe of the crowd. There's bad luck had it. Who should be brought out last, wailing and white-faced, but the youth in the pink coat? Speed guffawed at the woe-begone look of him and sang out to me, "I say, Flashy, what will Mother say?" The youth must have heard. He twisted round and saw us, and the spiteful little hound gave a yelp and pointed in our direction. "They were there, too," he cries. "Those two, they were hiding as well."